We can read this scripture. It's in 2 Timothy, the second verse. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions. And so, with that being said, let's welcome the preacher, the speaker of today, Brother Mael John, for the word of God. Let's appreciate the speaker of today.
Thank you. Good morning, church. She just said, I am John Mayele, a member of this parish. I work as a Bible translator. Has anyone heard such an occupation, Bible translator? Okay, not many people. So if you have your Bible in French or in English or in Kiswahili or in your mother tongue, it's because there is a bunch of people around the world who help translate the Bible into the languages we speak. Because it was initially written, the Old Testament, mainly in Hebrew, and the New Testament in Greek and other ancient languages. So I got a chance last year to, I'm still an intern, so not a professional. Don't ask me hard questions already. But I'm learning. I got a chance last year to travel to Israel for studies, and I spent 6 months there. Fantastic place. My testimony about Israel is that the Bible is true. So when they say David killed Goliath, don't think it's just a fairy tale or something. It's true. The places exist. All the evidence is right there. So this morning, as I was getting ready to come, I thought, how do I go to Gomaville? It was already heavy, the message itself. And I decided, you know, to lower the heaviness of the stuff. I took the papers from my notebook. So my notes will be on these papers. So the theme we'll be discussing this morning is prayer and gratitude as interconnected weapons for a believer in the midst of life storms. Prayer, everybody say prayer, and gratitude. All right, so prayer and gratitude as interconnected weapons for a believer in the midst of life storms. It's a hard topic to keep in mind, right? Let's make it short. I thought, how can we make this short? I saw one word, and the word was storm. Oh, storm. We know what a storm is. And the other word that leaped in my eyes was weapons. And I thought, to make this short, maybe we can just call the title Storm Weapons. Storm Weapons. So prayer and gratitude, storm weapons. Anyone knows a canoe? A canoe? Canoe, boat, these little boats they use to fish sambaza down there. Yeah, how do they move a canoe? They have a paddle, right? They have a paddle to move a canoe. And do they use it on one side? No, they use a paddle on both sides. So they will paddle on this side and then move to the other side, paddle on the other side. And in some cases, they have two paddles. So to walk straight, you need to use two paddles to push through the water, to push the water to move forward. So this morning, I'm coming to tell us that prayer and gratitude should be our paddles, right? Easy way to remember it. It means in order to move to advance or to go ahead, to go forward, we need to push. And the way we push is using prayer on one side, and on the other side, we use what? Gratitude. So we're not coming to God just asking, complaining, but we are coming to God also doing what? Thanking and being grateful to God. Let me give another example, because some of you are saying, hey, I've never been in a canoe. I don't know the experience. I can't relate. Let us use feet. If I stand here just like this, can I get to that door? No, but I need what? To use my foot. And if I use this foot over and over again, am I moving? I am stuck at the same place. So I need to use both foot. I need to use my prayer and I need to use my gratitude to advance. Prayer and gratitude are the weapons, the tools that help us advance. And then it says storms. I thought, storms, how do you fight a storm? I thought, sometimes if you trip over something, let's call that a storm, what happens? When you trip on something, you use your foot to catch your balance. And when you trip on something, you use your foot to catch your balance. But I didn't just use my foot, I used it several times and quicker. So I came to encourage us today that when you're facing a storm, when you're facing a challenge, it's a time to use your prayer and your gratitude even faster. Because when we're facing a challenge, oftentimes we focus on the challenge and we focus on the prayer. We focus on God. Yes, on God, I'm okay with that. We focus on God, but don't just focus on God, asking and complaining. Remember as well what He's done right in your life in the past. So use your prayer and use your gratitude. We will read the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 7 through 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 through 8. It says, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing out into the valley and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes and fig tree and figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey." I will repeat that. Verse 7, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing into the valleys and hills, a land that produces wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey." The second piece of scripture is going to be in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. "Even though fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no corn," in Hebrew it says no food, "even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. The Sovereign Lord gives me strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer and keeps me safe on the mountains." And the last verse we will use is in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. "Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart, and God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your heart and your mind safe in union with Christ Jesus." So I told you briefly about my time in Israel and being amazed about the stories are true. But one thing I learned in Israel, if I tell you, how do you know Israel? What is Israel? You know that Israel is called the promised land. That's what we all know. But as I was there, I learned a few things. And they taught me these people, the Jews, know Israel as also, they call it the land of the seven species. The land of seven species. And this comes from the verse we read, Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7 through 8. It goes, the Lord your God is bringing you into a fertile land, a land that has rivers and springs and underground streams gushing out into the valleys and hills. It says, a land that produces what? Wheat and barley, grapes, fig trees, pomegranates, olives, and honey. Is it seven species? Is it seven stuff, seven things? It says wheat and barley, right? It says grapes, three, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. Okay, if you check this list of seven stuff, at the end you have honey. We are listing here crops, right? This is agriculture, wheat, barley, all this stuff, and then honey. And to my surprise, what they call honey there is not honey we know, honey from bees. It is a type of honey they make from dates. There is a type of fruit they call dates. So, seven species. I would like to let you know, for some of us and all of us, that yes, Israel is there, let's leave it alone. Now it's a state, but we are now Israel. We are now the land that God works on. We are now the people of God. When you think of people of God, don't think about the Israelites. Today, you are the people with these promises. And I would like to give us a moment. As I read these seven species, I would like to give everyone a chance to think and list in your mind seven things that are working right. I know there's a lot to pray about and to complain about, but can you take a moment and think about your life, think about your past, think about your future, think about the country, think about your children and your family. List seven things to be grateful about. He says, a land that has wheat, right? It produces wheat and barley. You already got two things in your life. It produces grapes and fig trees. It produces pomegranates, olives, and honey. I know you have more than seven things, and it means that you have even many reasons to be grateful to the Lord. I know, then, since we have all these reasons to be grateful to God, life is happening as well, and life is throwing us all these things. God promised the children of Israel that, hey, you have all this food and you will never go hungry, you will never starve, you will never miss what to eat. And eventually when we read in Habakkuk, it was a bit shocking because he's saying, hey, even though grapes produce no fruit, that's what he said in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, even though fig trees have no fruit and grapes grow no vines, even though the olive crops fail, and the field produced no food, you start wondering, hey, these people were promised all these seven species, all this abundance. Then how does this happen? It came a time where this happens. The people offended God. The people were not holy in the sight of God. They started being idolaters and worshiping other gods, and God punished them. And I'd like to remind you that it's possible things can happen to you. You might be around and see other people and say, hey, wow, their life is going right. They are enjoying the seven species. But my life is not working. But I'd like us today to note, to keep a good note that you should be like Habakkuk. Before you start listing the things that are not going right, I would like us to say, even though first. Can everyone say, even though? Even though I don't have a job, even though I am not feeling okay, even though this is not working right in my life, remember that the God who gave you the seven species is still the God that takes care of you. Because Habakkuk goes ahead and says, I will still be joyful and glad And he gives a reason. He says, because the Lord God is my Savior. Because being here today, is already a miracle. You are not the person you were in 2020, not the person you were in 2015, even not in 2025. My Savior, he's taken me here. Just being here is a testimony that God has been good to me. And I know sometimes we don't say enough words or too many words, say long prayers of gratitude, but I would like us to see thanks and see them as prayers and as actions of gratitude. Or even say a simple thing like, hey, thank you, God. That's enough. Look at your life and say, thank you, God. Look at your house and say, thank you, God. Other people don't have that. Or maybe you were able to pay rent. Other people did not have the money to pay rent. Look at what is going right and be like this guy and say, hey, thank you, God, for taking me here. So as I'm bringing this to a close, I'd like us to read, to consider a verse in the book of Job chapter 14, verse 7. Job chapter 14, 7. Job 14, 7. There is hope for a tree that has been cut down. It can come back to life and sprout. I'd like us to remember that there is hope for us. Someone says, hey, you are like a tree transplanted next to streams of water. And God is reminding us this morning that yes, things may not be going right, or certain things may not be going right, but there is hope for us that we can sprout again, we can rise again. And finally, the last verse we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need. Don't compromise about that. Don't say, hey, there are certain things I can ask about God about, and some certain things I will keep for myself. No, ask God for what you need. Whatever you need, ask God for it. And it says, always asking with a thankful heart. Don't just ask, but ask and express gratitude to God. And it goes on to say, and God's peace, not the response, don't expect immediate response, but God's peace, taking this burden from your shoulders and putting it at the feet of the cross. God's, that gives you relief, it gives you peace. The peace that is far beyond human understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. Remember, we said we'll use two tools to advance, and the tools we'll use are prayer and gratitude. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful that we belong to you. We do not look at Israel and envy them, but we are your children. You chose us, you accepted us. And we thank you that this morning you came with a reminder that in order to advance and in order to keep balance in life, you gave us two tools to use, two weapons to fight with, which are prayer and gratitude. Lord, sometimes we are so ungrateful because we are so focused on the future. But Lord, you've done a lot already. Father God, remind us to always start with an even though before we start complaining about what's not working right. And we pray that, Lord, your peace will guard our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother John Maele. Once again, let's appreciate the speaker of today. Thank you for the word of God. There is something that he mentioned, and he said that we shouldn't be focusing, like we shouldn't focus on what didn't work. Instead, we should focus on what God did. I don't know if I was the only one who was blessed by that word. And to move with prayer and gratitude, have the grateful heart. All right.